Rosh Chodesh Av was holding in Simin Kuf Pei Tes Halacha Vav, and we're going all the way to Simin Kuf Tzadik Beis. Tomorrow we're going to be going through the nine halachas of the 9 days. Okay, first let's finish up with discussing the idea when you have a group of people that are traveling together. So this is all still connected to unloading and loading. So you have someone amongst the group that has a donkey that's legs are weak, wobbly, and therefore he's not able to keep up with everyone else. So a very interesting halacha, the other group are not allowed to leave him behind. Now, if his donkey falls down and he can't walk at all anymore, so then they're allowed to leave him. Why is that? Because it's going to be too much of a delay for everyone else. So this is something that people have to be very sensitive to. And this extends also, the kids says, to people traveling with wagons, and their equivalent today would be with cars, a group of people traveling together. I also thought that there would be actually very much applicable to groups of people that do biking. And they're as a group, and someone has a flat tire, it's so debilitating. I've experienced it. And if someone stays behind with that person, matur manayim. I don't know what the shear, how long, you know, some people are able to fix a wheel very quickly. It's mamish this halacha, very interesting. Sensitivity to others. Siman Kuf Tzadik starts with the laws of Shmiras HaGuf, that means watching over a person's body and koshik and one's soul, and Baal Tashchis, destroying things for no reason. So the first halacha, which is actually mentioned in Chesh Mishpat, the laws of Chesh Mishpat, is the idea that when a person has a rooftop, then he has an obligation to play to set up ma'ake, what's called a ma'ake. What's a ma'ake? Ma'ake is basically a fence, protective fence for his rooftop. And it's all based on the pasuk. And in fact, there's a bracha they make. You're doing it for someone else, as your builder or something. You should say alasias ma'ake. Now the rule is the following. Number one, the ma'ake has to be 10 tefachim. So we discussed many times about between 30 and literally 30 inches and 40 inches. Many different shitas, but many times you should know the standard. Interesting railings fit at least according to some shitas, but preferably it should be at least 35 inches. So some railings, it should make it a standard of 35 inches. They don't always do that. But what's interesting is that the halacha only really applies in Daraisa on a place like a rooftop that's used. And but if it's not something that's used, you're not obligated to put a rooftop, let's say rooftops that people don't use. But many, you know, today, Baruch Hashem, you have many rooftops that people use. It's Yisrael, a lot of houses that have all these different the uses that pools on top, and in fact also pools is another example. People sometimes have a pool. We'll see in a second that this is all part of the law of Laitas and Dom Masechet, such transgression that the person not taking care of danger in his home. Now the fence has to be very strong, that even if a person will lean on, it will not falter and not break. Now, as I mentioned, all things of sakana that a person could stumble with is also, it's like an extension of chiyu ma'ake. So the pasuk that we're discussing is like tasim domi mesechas. If a person has a pit, has to be covered. You have to do a wall around the tent fachim or proper cover. This way, a person should never fall there, chas v'shal. As I mentioned today, there's other applications like a pool. Nebuch, there's many with stories, and you have to make sure there's a fence around the pool. Similarly, any type of stumbling block that could cause sakonas nefashos, you have to remove it. And that's all based, this is interesting, it's based on the pasuk, Yisham Lechash Manav Shechamra. That pasuk is, I think it's next week's Pasha Eschanan, so it speaks about watching over your soul. It's interesting. So the base is soul protection. And that, of course, means any negative influence, harmful things like non-kosher food, etc. But an extension of that is also physically. So if a person leaves stumbling blocks in his home, he's like, an example that is a very weak and flimsy type of ladder. Someone that has a kelev ra, so this is a big tumult. Person, according to simple understanding, is a person not allowed to have a dangerous dog in his house. So something are lenient if it's tied, etc. But the chatchila really one should not have that. If there's a special situation, one should ask a shayla. A person has, just like a person has to be careful not to destroy and hurt his body, Yes, make sure also not to, person should make sure not to harm also his mammon, his property, not to destroy things for no reason. So someone who breaks utensils or tears clothing or throws away food for no reason, and so then the halacha is a person throws away money, etc. So anything that a person is going to ruin that other people could have enjoyed is oiva aloisas. It's quite scary. Leshashchis Pashas. I think that's Shishaitim, where it speaks about the idea not to destroy fruit trees. And then we go to another interesting sensitivity that the Torah requires of us, and that is to be sensitive to the pain of animals, which we already learned a little bit when we were discussing pre-cantina. So a person is not allowed to paint an animal. On the contrary, a person has to save an animal from pain, even if it doesn't own it, even if it's owned by a non-Jew. The only difference is that when it comes to a situation where these animals are paining human beings or needs for refuah or any other purpose, so then halacha is that even if it's going to cause pain to the animal, it's not a problem at all. And the best example is shechita. So it's interesting. That means that the Torah requires us to do shechita. And even though there's pain involved, the halacha is that it's not a problem. So it's interesting. I'm not sure if that implies that he's saying that shechita really is that a better way of doing than killing an animal. I'm not sure. But in any case, the point is you definitely see whenever there's a purpose. So in the big major discussion that we have in the Moshe has a famous tshuva l'gabei killing different types of rodents and rats and placing traps. Best is not to do something directly. And in fact, even the kids themselves says, he gives an example. You have to pull off feathers and from geese in order to be able to have feather pens. But the oilam is nimna, holds back and do that because of achzorius. What's this achzorius? This is also true of the famous tshuva Noda B'Yuda regarding hunting. Hunting for fun. So on the one hand, well, it's for fun, so maybe I'm allowed to do it because I have a purpose. On the other hand, it creates what's called an achzorius. It creates a negative nature in a person, and therefore a person should avoid it. Another example is horses that are pulling up a wagon. They come to a place where it's very difficult. So it's actually a mitzvah to help them, even if it's owned by a non-Jew, because it's Tzav Balei Chaim. Because otherwise, the non-Jew is going to hit these animals and pain them and create a lot of pain. One's not allowed to tie the and fold up the feet of animals like many times I've done. Here's there, I actually want to see that by camels. Unless there's a purpose. If a person, one's not allowed to place a female, like a hen, or some sort of female bird on eggs that are not it from its species, that's also considered Tzav Balei Chaim. Interesting. And one is not allowed to be misaris. This is a very complicated halacha. Person not allowed to castrate, whether it's a human being or animals, whether they're tameh at all, it doesn't matter what else is all outside of Israel. Anyone that is misaris that does do sirus, that means it castrates a human or an animal, it's going to be chai malchus. And even to give a cup of ikorin for a man, that means to give some type of drink that causes a man to become sterile, one is not allowed to do so, whether it's a man or other types of animals. So this is a major question. What do people do today to get these pets? And they don't want to have the pets, especially if it's a female pet or there's a male and the male. We always have to really try to avoid these problems by, number one, not having them. But if you have to have them, so then you just ask Hashem what to do, because one of the answers is not to, you can't do it yourself, but to give it to a vet, and the vet gives it to someone in the vet. What is this all based on? Because the next halacha says, Kitzur says, you're not even telling Nandra to be misaris, to be misaris. An animal for us. Meaning to say, if we have an own animal, we ask a non-Jew, it's a problem for him to castrate. Now, some say that even if you sold it to a non-Jew or gave it to him, let's say, to split the profits, if you know that he castrated, it's also. Why is it? Because a non-Jew is also chiddush, he's obligated in the midst of castration. And therefore, the Yisrael is even lifneiva. However, if the buyer, the non-Jew, is not the one that's actually castrating. He gives it to another non-Jew. That's called lifnei de lifnei, which comes up in many different halachas and halachas that's mutter. As I said, best ask a shayla. Have a beautiful day.